code's Kill Kittens and customer service is an oxymoron. One podcast has set out to make things right. This is the Unpodcast with your hosts, Scott Stratton and Allison Kramer.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. It's a pleasure to have us, honestly. But you're here, we're here, so let's get some stories going. The Unpodcast, the business show for the fed up. What's the show all about if you're new? You won't be here long. It's about stuff that makes you go, what? In business, sometimes we give advice. Sometimes we just don't read the story because Allison realizes I give her bad stories to read.
Yeah, and this week is no different, by the way.
You got the best story out of all of them, by the way. So let's just stop right there. All right. So
you just want me to read this time.
Today, Kansas City is a little bit, little spicy. A little spicy in that rib sauce. And Amazon stealing puppies. Air Canada messing up. WestJet messing up. Just airlines in Canada. Just, oof. And then a good Kickstarter story. I'm just kidding. It's another bad one. All that and nothing more. Brought to you by Strut Salon, Unicorn Rebellion, and everything else Hamilton, Ontario. Neither of which have agreed to actually be a sponsor of the show. Thank you. And the Pierogi Place.
I know we're not sponsored by Kansas City.
No? Why? It sounds right up our alley.
Oh, you didn't, Sam. Right up Main Street.
Right up Main Street.
So there's a picture of this sign, which I'm going to read because Scott hates me, apparently, and he's going to make me read this sign. And it says, it's like a photo of the sign, and it's supposed to be from the National Travel Tourism Week, I guess, Association. It says, did you know Kansas City welcomes 25 million visitors annually?
Right up our alley, kids. Just to recircle that joke again, if you didn't get it, why it was funny.
Obviously, this is a typo.
Yeah.
Well, so, that's what you might think. It's a typo, but
it went viral. It went crazy.
Yeah.
People sent it. People tagged us in it probably a dozen times when it went viral to say, "Hey, you got to share this." But this is the rub, right?
It says we're generous, welcoming, and accommodating people to tourists visiting our city. We're not that generous, welcoming, and accommodating. A photo has been circulating all over, featuring an unfortunate misspelling that suggests we're willing to bend over backwards or in other directions. Luckily, nobody is going to lose their job over this, and it's been confirmed that it was a fake Photoshopped photo.
So really, I don't think you can do the term fake Photoshopped. It's just Photoshopped, right? Isn't it redundant to say fake Photoshopped?
It's just a, like fake.
It's a fake Photoshop. Fake,
like someone
fake photo,
Photoshopped.
Somebody Photoshopped it. Yeah, okay. That's better.
They did a good job.
It looks great. Yeah. Fantastic.
I don't know who Photoshopped this. I think today's
posters go.
This week's podcast is actually brought to whoever Photoshopped this photo because they did a really good job of Photoshopping it.
And this is the thing. We're so quick to jump on stuff, right? And when I saw that, I'm like, no, it's not. There's no way it's true. And you start researching, and then you just do one research. You just Google under incognito mode, Kansas City anal. And then it comes up, the first story is a news story of, well, the third story. The first two don't go to, if you don't want to get into that.
That explains the search history were deleting this morning.
Is a story saying it's not real.
Is it related to the Kansas City shuffle somehow?
Yeah. Oh, right. Right, Cleveland Steamer. Exactly. We should probably just scrap the show and move on. We should put a warning at the start of the show is not have a family drive for this show. Can we say that? Probably should have said it before. It's like spoiler alert after the spoiler.
What do you have? How many times do you have to say annually today
the
on the podcast?
Sound of a rusty trombone. So, see. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba. From CNBC, puppy stolen by Amazon delivery driver returned to owner after emailed Jeff Bezos.
He stole a puppy?
He did. Remember we talked about on the show.
Back in the old days.
Back in the day, a few months ago, before we went anal on the show, was Amazon was setting up something that you could authorize a delivery person to open up your front door and leave a package in there.
We actually talked about it on the 100th episode.
Right.
200th episode.
A puppy that was stolen by a driver delivering Amazon parcels in England has been reunited with its owner. Businessman Richard Gutfield, 51, said his black miniature schnauzer, Wilma, had gone missing after a driver dropped off a package of dog food.
What a kind of monster steals a puppy?
Gutfield said it was only after he emailed Amazon CEO and founder Jeff Bezos Bezos in a plea to have his dog returned that the company responded. Quote, my puppy went missing after an, my mine's in Kansas City. My puppy went missing after an Amazon delivery and after an email to Jeff. We had someone who was amazing. You have one email to him?
They
you call him Jeff?
Email Jeff?
You just have one email and now you're on first name terms with him? We had someone who was amazing who tracked the driver and found our dog and brought her home. Amazon said that the driver in question who would no longer deliver its packages. Drivers that deliver parcels for Amazon do not technically work for the company, but through a number of independent couriers. This is inexcusable and does not reflect the high standards we have for our delivery partners. A spokesperson for the company
said. Pretty low standards, not stealing somebody's puppy. I'm just going to say, like, when I set my standards for my delivery people that I'm going to allow into my home, puppy thieves are, like, way down low on
that. Is this a training issue? Should this be addressed in training?
You're a monster. Like, you're a puppy thief.
Would you find this out in hiring somehow? Like, how would you... If you saw a puppy in a house, what would you, A, take it?
What's your greatest challenge? Well, I really like puppies.
I can't resist them puppies. Them schnauzers. Just gotta get me one. I'm thinking dog food right here. Schnauzer right there. Boom.
He's at the interview. He's got, like, puppies in his coat.
Apparently, people in England speak like they're from Brooklyn.
That was
poorly
weird.
From Brooklyn.
Yeah, it wasn't right. Our first of our airline stories, I guess.
If this is your first episode listening to. Wow.
It's pretty bad.
Welcome to the show.
This is from the CBC. It says WestJet apologizes for asking customers to record its flight attendants. WestJet tried to get an edge on the competition by asking frequent flyers to record their flight experiences aboard rivals' planes.
Creepy.
And their own.
Right.
It says the research tactic was aimed at understanding the elements of their journey. WestJet is shelving a tactic that asked frequent flyers to record in-flight service aboard the airline and its rivals, a strategy union officials condemned as unacceptable. It's right up there with puppy stealing, warning that secret taping of flight attendants would be a violation of privacy rules. The Calgary-based airline made the request of a few guests who regularly fly with WestJet and its competition, asking them to capture their experience. According to details posted on a WestJet internal online forum reviewed by CBC News, the feedback was gathered via an app that let respondents type comments, snap a photo, or record video. So basically, they picked a few people who were very frequent flyers and asked them to be spies. And
so weird.
The union says it's just a violation of the union policy that you know, you can't just, like, be recording them all the time, I guess. And
why would you do this?
I don't know. Like, it's a bit weird, right?
Why wouldn't you just fly on them yourself and observe? People do it all the time. Why would you get the public involved in this? Just do your espionage like everybody else, quietly.
It's really strange. I think they don't have enough people like that work for them that they could
hire. That's what I'm saying. Like, why would you go outside of your company? Espionage should be internal always. That's why we listen to other shows. We don't tell other people to do it for us.
I don't listen to any other shows.
Me neither. This is the first time. This is funny. I don't know if you've noticed this, but this is the first time that I've seen a couple cracks in WestJet's armor of their brand where they just narrowly avoided a strike 2 days ago. But their pilots going on strike. And WestJet for us, as if you've read any of our books, we certainly have high praise for them as an airline. And a couple of things that come out has been not what you'd expect out of their culture.
It just seems really strange.
It is, very much
so. You know, like, it just seems like people share videos and photos of terrible things on flights all the time. Mm-hmm. They share when amazing things happen on flights. Like, we see stories where people share a picture of somebody doing something cool or... And so it just seems strange to, like, incentivize it.
Very
Do you know
odd.
What I mean? Like, it's a weird thing.
And people should be, the WestJet is the one people learn from.
And are they saying that they want the frequent flyers on their airline to then go fly on another airline to spy on them? Like, that's really weird. Don't you want the business?
There's got to be more to the story. It's just weird. This is one of those things where you built so long to build a brand. You see that and you're just like, it doesn't sound right.
No, it's strange.
It sounds like Air Canada.
Sounds photoshopped.
Yeah, boom. Full circle. All right, this is from another one from the CBC, another airline one. Alberta woman says Air Canada left her stranded in PEI over ID mix-up.
See, that sounds perfectly on brand.
That's on brand. This is just a statement right here, folks.
That's not photoshopped.
A woman from Alberta says she was left stranded in Prince Edward Island because Air Canada refused to accept the ID she traveled with just a few days earlier. By the way, I just wanted to say, when we're talking about Canada here, if you say, they didn't do it here because it's a Canadian publication, but and what brought this on, like most things for me, was The Rock. And he was Dwayne Johnson. And he was on Instagram a few days ago. And he was talking about Vancouver. and how much he loved Vancouver, because he actually played professional football there for a week in the CFL before he was cut, and how it was an inspiration for him. He says, I love Vancouver, Canada. Film movies here. Look, you don't say Vancouver, Canada. You don't say Toronto, Canada. That's like saying Nashville, USA. I'm in Dallas, USA. I'm in LA, USA. Nobody says that because you sound like a psychopath. Here, you say Vancouver, British Columbia, Toronto, Ontario, or just the city. Am I confusing Vancouver with Vancouver, Brazil? Vancouver, Paraguay? No. Americans, stop it. Just say the city or say the city and province. We're not saying making forcing you to say postal codes. Mm-hmm. We're not forcing you to say a boot. But if you're never going to say Cleveland, USA, then don't say Vancouver, Canada. I'm talking to you, The Rock. Back to the story. Pick a fight with The Rock.
Seems wise.
A woman from Alberta says she was left stranded. I already said that. The woman said, from Brooks says she ended up staying in PEI several weeks longer than planned. Ooh.
Weeks?
Weeks. And now wants compensation from the airline. She's,
how can you stay somewhere for weeks longer than planned?
I'll tell you.
What Mary kind of says, life does this person Mary, have? Weeks?
Mary says we could be stranded a year somewhere. We'd be okay.
No, we...
We could.
Are you kidding
we
me?
We could do our stuff from anywhere. The no, children
our
be fine.
Stuff?
Yeah. Children
do
be fine.
Do you realize what I do every day? Do you have any concept?
We'd be Lord of the Flies here. They'd be fine.
We come back. Lord of the Flies turned out fine.
We come back and whoever left standing.
Have you read Lord of the Flies?
Or the next one. No, I just got it for assignment in class. I never read it.
Okay, so it doesn't turn out well.
They all turn into kings and they made the world, right? God. They at the end, they took the ring, threw it into the pit.
There's no ring in Lord of the Flies.
And Gollum's like, precious. And then like, that was it. And then, what's his name?
I could be stranded somewhere for hours, not weeks.
And then Gandalf was like, no! And then they were done.
You don't know what you're talking about.
What? The captain
Keep
from
reading
Star
your
Trek.
Story.
Picard,
and yes, you like, already oh. read the first sentence again. Already.
Okay. So a woman from Alberta
no,
says
No, you already oh. read that. And you did the rant with the Rock and the Vancouver, Canada.
Right?
Yeah.
Mary Hazelwood says she flew from Calgary to Charlottetown in March with two pieces of government-issued ID, both that didn't have photos. Her birth certificate... and a document from Service Canada. I called Air Canada to make sure that my documents were okay, and I told them I had two government-issued non-photo pieces of identification. They assured me I was fine. But when Hazelwood went to purchase her return flight from Air Canada a few days later, she says she was told she would need photo ID. My mind is still boggled. I still can't believe it. They flew me down with this ID, and they wouldn't fly me home. Air Canada officials declined an interview request, but told CBC News that the company deals with its customers directly, and Hazelwood is welcome to contact their customer relations team with concerns. According to airline's own website, as well as Public Safety Canada, domestic travelers are required to have one piece of photo ID. Air passenger rights advocate Gabor Lukacs says Hazelwood's ID appears to meet the Canadian regulatory requirements. The problem here is that Air Canada is making the rules up as they go. They're not following the law. So here you go. Ready? In the end, Hazelwood says she called WestJet and they advised her to go buy a fishing license. She did that without showing any form of ID, and she says she flew home in WestJet without a hitch.
Like, okay, there's a lot of problems here from both sides. But like, first of all, she bought her outgoing ticket, but she didn't buy a return ticket at the same time.
Right. Both without.
Problem number one.
Yeah, true. Very true. Maybe they didn't let her board.
Was she really stranded or like, was she just waiting around? Yeah. And then you don't have any photo ID?
It's weird.
Like our 12-year-old has photo ID.
But she's trying to say they let her fly one way, so should fly the other fly back.
Yeah, they probably should.
And I agree that a lot of times airlines make it up as they go, and it's depending on who you get to. Like, when I fly with the Nexus
we've
card,
got
right?
Tons of, yeah, we've had lots of experience with that.
Some are due. Some tell me to take up one. I had a flight just recently, came up to me, and I had the Bose Don't Talk to Me Bluetooth headphones, right? And she's like, you're not allowed to actually wear those on this plane.
Weird.
At all.
Weird.
But I will allow you to do it this time.
Aww.
Just not on takeoff and landing.
That was nice of her.
But why not then? If they're that crucial to the successful flying of this plane, why are they allowed near the plane, but just not on it? And I once pulled up Air Canada's website and showed the flight attendant that I was allowed to wear them once because the plane had Wi-Fi.
I'm going to go somewhere and get stranded for weeks one time and see how things turn out.
Well, they'll be fine here. Just Lord of the Flies.
No, I'm going to leave you here.
No, no.
Yes,
no, I'll just catch a flight somewhere else.
I'm gonna go be stranded somewhere, and I'm gonna leave you here.
Yeah, I'll be the elf guy, the elf guy from with the arrows and the.
Jeez. This article is from TechCrunch.com, and I have some questions guy, right? for Wayne about what the heck 3D audio is.
Yeah.
It says, after tens of thousands of pre-orders, sounds like upwards, tens of thousands, how many thousands?
More
was
than
it,
10.
Was it 20? Like, more than 10. Say 20. It's
more than 10 orders.
After tens, it's not hundreds of thousands, you say, but tens of thousands?
It's more than 10.
After
upwards
fives
of
thousands of pre-orders, 3D audio headphones startup OSIC disappears. After taking tens of thousands of crowdfunding pre-orders for a high-end pair of 3D sound, as in quote, headphones, audio startup OSIC announced this week it is shutting down the company and backers will not be receiving refunds.
You're done.
The company raised $3.2 million across Kickstarter and Indiegogo for their OSIC X headphones, which they pitched as a pair of high-end head-tracking headphones. They're on your head.
No, so when you move your head... The sound moves with them.
The sound always moves with it.
No. But hear it. But figure it out. So this is for virtual augmented reality and stuff.
Yes, it's listening to 3D audio, especially in a VR environment.
So you move your head, the audio moves. So if somebody's talking to your left, you move your head, the audio moves around in your head to go to the right if you move your head to the right.
It's so niche. Huh? That's why
I'm going to fund it right now.
Yeah, no, you're not. They're out of business.
Oh.
While the company also raised substantial seed investment, in a letter to the OSIC website, the company blamed the slow adoption of virtual reality alongside their crowdfunding campaign stretch goals that bogged down their R&D team. No. The same reason people don't buy virtual reality stuff en masse is because it's too expensive and people don't want to spend that kind of money except for a few people. And then you're looking at like this super, super niche people who can afford virtual reality equipment and want virtual reality equipment. The Venn diagram width is very small. And then that amount of people then have to also want your and believe in, by the way, which I'm not sure I do, in this idea that you turn your head and you're going to notice the difference. Says this was obviously not our desired outcome. Well, I hope not. The team worked exceptionally hard and created a production-ready product. Sure, you did. That is technological and performance breakthrough. Seriously, people?
Allison?
Such crap.
Allison?
What?
My fine co-host wife.
Kickstarter fails make me so angry.
And this is what I want to ask you. Can you please tell all these listeners now, all seven of them who desire to make a product, since you are our guru of product making and a former owner of a product company, what are the problems here?
The problem is they couldn't make the headphones that they sold everybody. And they sold too many headphones that they couldn't make and they couldn't test and they couldn't ship them. And they went out of business. And then they just keep all these people's money. And then on the other side of this, please... I think Kickstarter in theory is great, but you didn't buy headphones, okay?
No,
you donated to a startup company that did maybe had a prototype.
Yes.
It says like maybe they had one pair that kind of worked, and you didn't buy headphones. You donated to a company, it didn't work. It happens all the time. Yeah. And it says
this is not a retail transaction.
It says on through January 2017, the San Diego company had received more than 22,000. There's our tens of thousands. 22,000 pre-orders for their headphones.
Over and above 20,000.
Yeah. This past January, OSIC announced they had shipped out the first units to 80 backers that had paid $999. They're $1,000 headphones. And it says, in that same update, the company said they would enter mass production by the spring. Yeah, I'm thinking those couple headphones didn't do too well. It says, in the end, after tens of thousands of pre-orders, which they keep saying over and over, OSIC built only 250 pairs of headphones and only shipped out a few dozen.
See, my problem with this whole thing, the Kickstarter is a risk. It's not a retail transaction. You're investing in a potential.
$1,000, that's a lot of money.
What people are seeing, too, is Oculus Rift here. They all want to be Oculus Rift. They all want to grab it before it gets bought by somebody else, and then you got the first set. Their reasons are the problem. They're saying the low adoption of AI, the low adoption that... No. The only adoption that matters here right now is the adoption that your backers gave you, which is they funded this for you. They funded your company, and they said because of stretch goals, and if you don't know what stretch goals are, if you're listening right now, stretch goals are what? When they meet their original goal, now they want more money. So say they were aiming for $1 million. That was their goal. They're like, let's go up to $2 million. And if we do, we're going to give you all even more stuff. But that's so called a stretch goal.
Plus they had seed funding.
So, plus they had a couple million in seed funding. And then they come out and say it's the problem was the industry. The problem was you not understanding how products work and how much R&D costs and rolling out a product that wasn't done.
It says here, crowdfunding campaign failures for hardware products are rarely shocking, but often the collapse comes from the company not being able to acquire additional funding from outside investors. Here, OSSIC appears to have been misguided from the start, and even with $3.2 million in crowdfunding and seed funding, which they said nearly matched that number, they were unable to begin large-scale manufacturings because things are hard to make.
Yeah. No kidding.
The company said in their letter that it would likely take more than $2 million in additional funding. Yeah, no one gave them another cent.
A friend of ours put up a thing on Facebook with the story. That's how I saw it in the first place. And he had asked, does anything ever work on there? He was 0-for-8.
Really?
On things he funded. And I posted on mine. I think I was about 60-70% of what I funded or we have here somewhere, somehow. The record player, the cardboard one that I got, two of the kids we got, and the animated series, Judo Popcorn. It was a jiu-jitsu piece of popcorn. Amazing series, by the way. Still have a sticker on
it. But these are the creative things, right? The popcorn thing is creative. We've done documentaries. Yeah. These are creative proceeds. And even then, it's hard. And I think in those cases, it's more on the producer side of things because they have the onus of like sending out all the t-shirts and things like that. Like it's a lot of work. But like the cardboard turntable or whatever, like this isn't new groundbreaking technology where they're not going to know how to make a record player. Like they know how to do that. So it's a cool sort of like creative thing. But money is really the only object blocking somebody from success.
But that's what you, and you've always said this, right? That's always the problem. That sticks out in my mind that every time this has come up, you said that is money is not your hurdle to making this product
work. It certainly
work.
Can be one of them, but it's more a hurdle to growth. Like it's not a hurdle to getting started usually. It's like the hurdle once you have the orders for the real product that you've already made and tested and had out and packaging and everything is done and logistics is set up. And then you get a huge order from Best Buy or something for, you know, tens of thousands of your headphones. Then money is the hurdle because you need to fund a system that's already in place. But if you don't have a system in place, then money is just part of the problem. There's a lot of other things in place, which, you know, I just feel bad because I think $1,000 is a lot of money. And, you know... Just remember, Kickstarter is not a...
It's funding. It's not a store. You're an investor with no profit share
and
equity
like
or anything.
And bottom of the barrel investor, too. Yeah. Like if you... We've seen way too many times that if the seed investors, for example, they would have answered to the seed investors first.
Correct.
And they're going to answer to big retailers likely first. Like you're bottom of the barrel investor. You're a little tiny drop in the bucket of the money that they need. You may be why they're able to go in business when you put it together and it ends up being $3.2 million, but you're $1,000 of that. Like you're not important. And it's not a store.
What was the train wreck one last year? That cooler?
Yeah.
That cooler, right?
Coolest.
Yeah, just went, oof. Yeah,
great name though. I wish I thought of that.
Very cool. All right. Let's wrap it up with another made up word 3 weeks in a row.
Good job.
Nice job.
Great production.
Don't make any sense. Don't mean no offense. It brings laziness. What is all this craziness?
Here we go. Phygital. 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 Wayne, after that poor showing last week.
I'm not touching that.
Hayden. Both opted out.
Phygital with PH?
Yeah.
Like physical?
Yeah.
Like exercise where it's not exercise, like somehow.
So this is from Jeff Callister again, the man who brought us plogging last week.
He's got it another twofer. Exercise one?
No. Phygital, and this is he sent me the link because I had to see the actual written description on this site. He said, you got to read this in a sarcasm font. Phygital is about blending the physical and digital to create an ecosystem between the brand and consumer across the two worlds. Phygital as a paradigm is challenging the cascaded approach of traditional marketing models in favor of building integrated marketing campaigns that exist effortlessly between both the physical, real, and digital virtual worlds.
I'm going to throw up.
I don't know what I just said.
It's marketing speak.
After reading that, I don't know what phygital means. I'm going to go
up. We should ask for ulterior definitions of phygital and see what people send us.
We should.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, can you all send us your phygital?
Yeah, tell us
what
you think it means.
I think Wayno over there was thinking of one. He's not saying it. He's got an idea of what he wants to do. Phygital
is the anally episode.
It is. This is a family show, Allison.
Is it a family show?
Really? Bye, fam.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and visit theunpodcast.com. And remember, friends don't let friends use QR codes.